Thank you, everyone. Good afternoon. I am not David Frankenberger. David is a master's student in our project, in our program, and this was his master's project. I worked with him. I'm Krista Clements Knoll. And I will be speaking about the impact of adverse childhood experiences on drinking before and during pregnancy. I have no relationships to close. So we know that in utero, alcohol exposure is associated with a range of neurocognitive and physical disabilities and problems. Collectively, we describe that as fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, or FASD. The most significant part of that would be referred to as fetal alcohol syndrome, or FAS. And then there's a lot of secondary poor health outcomes. As a child ages, they may have problems in school. There may be substance use or mental health problems. So there's a range of secondary health problems that are also important to acknowledge. According to the CDC, up to 1.5 cases of fetal alcohol syndrome occur for every 1,000 live births in the United States every year. And there's a couple very recent studies that suggest that that number is an underestimate of the occurrence of fetal alcohol syndrome. Fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, or FASD, is not something that we can monitor through surveillance efforts, but recent studies suggest a prevalence from about 2% to 5%. And a number of women will stop drinking once they find out they're pregnant, but it's very complicated. Substance use is a very complicated issue. And it's estimated that 7.6% of pregnant women drank alcohol recently, so in the past 30 days. It's really important to think about ways to identify the risk factors for drinking during pregnancy. And again, these may be more complicated than we previously thought. Most studies have really focused on the socio-demographic differences between women who drink during pregnancy and don't drink during pregnancy, or a lot of the situational factors in their life at that time during pregnancy. But looking at what may have occurred previously during their childhood may be a really important and promising area of research. So from a great deal of research looking at adverse childhood experiences, which I'll refer to commonly as ACEs, which includes abuse, neglect, and family dysfunction, we found that these types of things cluster. They cluster in households. And it's really difficult to only look at abuse without also looking at these other things that may be occurring within this household. And that the chronic stress that a child experiences over time to all of these stressors is very important. So we don't want to sort of control for neglect, but only look at abuse, for example. From a number of studies, we know that ACEs, and looking at an indicator, an ACE indicator would be a really strong predictor of early initiation of alcohol use, so beginning drinking before the age of 13, heavy alcohol use, binge drinking, and alcohol dependence in women. But despite this really strong dose-response relationship, there really hasn't been very much research looking at whether adverse childhood experiences could be associated with drinking during pregnancy. Two recent studies looked at this relationship. One study was a secondary analysis of the Nurses' Health Study, and they didn't look at the full range of ACEs, but they did look at child abuse, and they did indeed find this dose-response relationship between abuse and drinking during pregnancy. Another study in the United States looked at women who were accessing care at health clinics, and these were pregnant women. And they didn't have a standard measure of ACEs, but again, they looked at seven different areas of adversity in the child's life, or the woman's life when she was a child, and found that that was associated in a dose-response relationship with drinking during pregnancy. However, these two studies didn't control for the drinking patterns before a woman became pregnant. And we know from research that that's one of the strongest predictors of continued drinking during pregnancy. So it may be that the relationship between ACEs and drinking during pregnancy really is just a result of what I've shown in this top area of research, which we've already really established that it's associated with these risky drinking behaviors among women of childbearing age. So we wanted to look closer at this, investigate whether there's a dose-response relationship between ACEs and drinking during pregnancy, but we really wanted to control for that pre-pregnancy drinking pattern. To do this analysis, we used data from the 2010 Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, or the BRFSS, and we used data from Nevada, not just because that is where we are located, but in Nevada, we actually had two state-added variables that allowed us to do this analysis, and I'll talk more about that. And these are variables that aren't typically used in the BRFSS nationally. The BRFSS, if you are not aware, is a random household survey. It's a telephone interview. In 2010, it was households with landlines. Subsequently, after 2010, they added cell phones. But for the data we are looking at, it was just landline households. We excluded men for obvious reasons and women who had never been pregnant. And so we had close to 2,000 women in the analysis. So the state added variable I alluded to is a variable looking at alcohol use during pregnancy. And the variable was on how many days per week did you have at least one drink of any alcoholic beverage after you learned you were pregnant. And for this analysis, this is dichotomized to drinking versus not drinking, partly due to the small number of individuals in that category. The predictor variable for the analyses, or the ACEs module, is a module to assess adverse childhood experiences. It was developed by the CDC in collaboration with researchers from Kaiser Permanente, where they did a great deal of ACEs research in the past. And this module includes 11 questions that assess 8 areas of abuse, household dysfunction before the age of 18. So the areas of abuse are sexual abuse, physical abuse, and emotional abuse, and there's a number of different variables that assess those. And household dysfunction includes domestic violence in the household, a mental illness of a household, a member, substance use in the household, and that may be alcohol use or other drug use, incarceration of the household member, or separation or divorce. So the ACE score for this module is 0 to 8, and for our analyses we looked at 0 would be our referent group, so non-exposure, 1 adverse childhood experience, 2 to 3 or 4 or more. And this is the standard cutoff for the ACEs module. We also had a number of covariates and potentially confounding variables, several measures of socioeconomic status, and other demographics. We asked women whether they had been, or participants, whether they had been in the military or if they were in the National Guard. We assessed lifetime depression as well as current depression using the PHQ-8, and we used the standard scoring for that cutoff. Lifetime smoking, and then alcohol use the month before pregnancy was another state-added variable. So that's what's unique to this data set. All the analyses were weighted, and we looked at using chi-square analyses to look at the relationship between alcohol use during pregnancy and ACEs, as well as these other potentially confounding variables. And then we conducted weighted logistic regression to account for the complex sampling design and that weighting strategy. And only the covariates that were associated with drinking during pregnancy in the unadjusted analyses, P less than 0.05, were included. And I'll report the adjusted odds ratios and 95% confidence intervals. So the sample was reflective of the state, or at least of women in the state in this age range. So primarily white, although 16% were Hispanic. 26% were 18 to 34. But it's important to note when you look at some of the results that about a third of the population, over a third, were 55 or older. So, you know, it's a random sample of women. Many of them are over 55, and we're asking them to retrospectively recall their, you know, what happened before they were 18 and maybe their drinking behaviors once they were pregnant. Only about 8% did not have a high school diploma or a GED, but 27% were making less than $25,000 a year. A little over half were not employed. Only about 3% had been in active military duty or in the National Guard. 21% reported depression, and 13%, according to that PHS scale, were currently depressed. And then for the smoking status, we had about half. And again, that wasn't just ever versus never. It was whether they had had smoked at least 100 cigarettes in their lifetime. So if we look at how common adverse childhood experiences is or would be in this population, this is the weighted prevalence of ACEs. So about 36% had not experienced any of those adverse childhood experiences, which is very similar to what we see in other states that include this module. What's different in the state of Nevada, and certainly different when we look at just women, is that we have a higher number of people in this category experiencing four or more adverse childhood experiences. So alcohol use before pregnancy was reported by about 20% of the sample of women, and 6.4% drank alcohol during pregnancy, and that's almost identical to the national estimate that I gave you earlier in the introduction. And this shows you the relationship between adverse childhood experiences and the weighted prevalence of drinking during pregnancy. So here we see that as the number of adverse childhood experiences increases, you see that increase in the prevalence of drinking during pregnancy. So 3% of those with no adverse childhood experiences reported drinking during pregnancy, compared to close to 12% of those with four or more. And this was a test for trend and is significant, suggesting that there's a dose-response relationship. Other factors that were associated with drinking during pregnancy were race ethnicity, so Caucasian race ethnicity, older age, being unemployed, the lifetime smoking variable, and drinking before pregnancy. And all of these are very similar to what we typically see in the literature. In the multivariate model, the only variables that remained significant were drinking during pregnancy, which you see is a very strong predictor, as which we know from the literature, odds ratio here of 12. And the adverse childhood experience scale continues to show that dose-response relationship. It really didn't change substantially with the adjustment of drinking during pregnancy and those other significant covariates. And just a visual representation of this, we have, again, the referent group would be zero, and we have plotted the adjusted odds ratios. And again, these are all weighted analyses. And you, again, can visually see that sort of increase in the odds ratio as the number of adverse childhood experiences increases. So there are a number of limitations to the data that I have presented. First is the retrospective recall, which I talked about briefly. So in most of the adverse childhood experiences studies with adults, you're asking them, did this occur before you were 18? So that's a long period for people to recall. We also know that self-report of alcohol use during pregnancy is typically an underestimate, but we really believe this is non-differential. We have no reason to believe that that differed by our exposure categories. We were missing some important covariate information. I think the panelists did a great job of introducing the importance of intimate partner violence. We know that adverse childhood experiences is associated with intimate partner violence. Or the woman ending up with a partner where there is intimate partner violence. And we also know that intimate partner violence is a strong predictor of drinking during pregnancy. So, we need to look at important variables such as this to really understand this relationship with adverse childhood experiences. The covariates didn't necessarily cover the time period right before pregnancy or during pregnancy. So, for example, we had to rely on a lifetime tobacco use or smoking use variable. You know, the education would be, you know, sort of lifetime education. Employment was current. So you, again, have that woman who's 55 years old. Her employment now may be very different from the time when she was pregnant. So we probably had incomplete control for some of those important sociodemographic variables in particular. And we only looked at drinking during pregnancy, as does much research, because there is no recommended safe amount of alcohol to drink during pregnancy. But it really would have been good if we could have had an indicator of binge drinking, which some studies have done, or some of the other substance use scales. I mean, we were not able to do that with these analyses. And, of course, it was a cross-sectional design, so we have a really difficult time looking at temporality. Cross-sectional design over a long period of a person's life. Despite these limitations, we did find a really strong dose-response relationship between adverse childhood experiences and drinking during pregnancy, and it's really important that that continued once we controlled for that pre-pregnancy drinking behavior. So there's something about that adversity and that chronic stress, which we know has an impact on adult health outcomes through the course of a woman's life, that is continuing to be a real strong predictor of those behaviors, even when controlling for that pre-pregnancy drinking. Our results add to the growing body of evidence demonstrating a link between ACEs and a whole range of harmful drinking patterns for women. But really add to it in looking at it closer in this dose-response way with drinking during pregnancy. And, of course, we confirm previous studies demonstrating that a key predictor of drinking during pregnancy is pre-pregnancy alcohol consumption, which I'll talk about with our implications. So we think that screening women of childbearing age who may become pregnant, as well as pregnant women for adverse childhood experiences, may be a really beneficial strategy for identifying women at risk for drinking during pregnancy. Current screening really focuses on the substance use, which we know is underreported, and there is a lot of movement towards beginning to screen. For example, the American Pediatric Association is recommending screening children and adolescents for adverse childhood experiences, and we feel that coupling this for women of childbearing age in community settings could be really helpful. And it could also be really helpful for sort of understanding this complexity of why a woman continues to drink once she knows she's pregnant. So I think addressing some of those lifetime stressors could be very helpful. Regardless of this research, interventions that address adverse childhood experiences are warranted, are needed. This is just one area of the research, but there's a lot of health outcomes across the spectrum of chronic disease, infectious disease, premature mortality that's associated with adverse childhood experiences. But certainly it would benefit the woman as well as the child. And there's also, you know, you can start to think about then that household, right? So then the child is born in that household, and what is that woman, you know, what is she experiencing in her life? And you start to see this sort of intergenerational transmission, possibly, of ACEs. So it's a really important area of focus for women of childbearing age and pregnant women. Future studies using longitudinal designs are warranted, and these could possibly elucidate these mechanisms by which ACEs are influencing alcohol consumption during pregnancy, which we really were not able to do. References that I stay under. Mm-hmm.